what so many try to be the thousandth man. They got whacked. And then here comes another, I'll say a Bible word, fool, step in their ranks and go, it got him. It got my granddaddy. Got my last preacher. It won't get me. Who do we think we are to watch it destroy 999 and be so vain as to think that it won't get me?
You're listening to Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Pressing On is a ministry of Progress Baptist Church located in Hendersonville, North Carolina. For more information about Progress Baptist Church, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. And now let's join the service at Progress Baptist Church.
I have a question. Why? Why many? Doesn't surprise me she got some. We know how we're wired.
Yeah.
But many? At some point down the line, shouldn't somebody have learned from somebody else's mistakes? He sat me down when I was about 15, starting high school. He said, son, he said, I was too cool to learn anything in high school. I was too cool to play any sports. I was too cool to get involved. He said, I was trying to be the next Elvis Presley. He said, don't make that mistake. He said, get involved in it. We went to a good Christian solid school. He said, get involved in everything they'll let you get involved in. Work hard, make good grades. He said, if you'll learn everything I've learned and then add to it what you can learn, he said, you'll be smarter than old dad ever thought about being. Now, very few of us do that, do we? Because we go through that stage where we know everything. And by the time we finally realize we don't and start trying to catch up, we've got so much ground to catch up, we're in a deficit.
Yeah.
Why many? That is today's message. Why hath the foolish woman in Proverbs 7 slain many? If she slew a man, if she slew two, if she slew 10, why did number 11 go knock on that door?
Yep.
Somebody ought to learn. All you women, same thing. There's a bunch of wicked men. And us men, we'd do well to tell our wives and daughters how messed up men are.
Yeah.
Sweetie, I wish you wouldn't wear that. I know you want to look cute and summery. Let me tell you where a man's eyes are going to be drawn, sweetie. That's not appropriate. Say amen. Let's be the men. Let's be the men. She hath cast down many wounded. Yay. Say it, church. Many. What kind of men? Strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to say it. Does this young man who ended up at her house think this is the way to hell? No! She's promised him everything for the next 10 hours. And my Bible said it's the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. The first area that I don't want anybody in here to be the thousandth man in is the area of sexual purity. Adam was 16-ish. He had worked with all the contractors in the church, roofing, plumbing, framing, you name it. And so he got to that age and we start talking about, okay, life after high school. And I said, what do you think you're doing? He said, I want to major in construction. He said, man, so-and-so made $100,000 last year. I said, okay. And I said, okay, I want you to be careful. I said, all of those construction crews go to the office every Friday to get their checks, and they have bookkeepers, and most of those are ladies, and there's a lot of illicit relationships between those construction crews and the office staff. He went, yes, sir. I'll be careful. Well, he started construction, and the economy went belly up in September and October of 08. He sat down with me and his mom in November. He said, this construction thing ain't working out too well. He said, I like to eat. He said, and all those men at church don't have work. I said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be a nurse. I said, the way you treat people? I said, you have never said a kind word to your sisters. And he went, no, I want to be a nurse. I said, okay. I said, you're working in these very intense situations. A lot of passion. A lot of chemicals going on. And I said, relationships form. with that, because you and this other nurse or doctor or all that, you're saving a life together and a bond has formed. Yep. And I said, a lot of times they take it out of the hospital and it becomes an illicit relationship. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then he wanted a little side gig. He can wheel and deal like my daddy. I can't do it. I'll give it to you. They can wheel and if you want to buy something, buy it from me. And he wanted to do a little buying and selling of cars on the side. Just keep a little cash flow going. And I said, okay. I said, but be real careful. I said, you know, all those car dealerships you go to, I said, all those men out there selling and all those women back there in the office, I said, 80% of them's got something going on. They do.
Yes, sir.
Y'all ain't ever seen how they interact? They dealing with more than car titles. If y'all not up on me, we're going to be here a long time. Just holler and wave your Bible and smack it and go, purge, okay? And I'll just think you're all holy and I'll just keep moving real, real fast. But if you bog down on me, I'm going to go, ooh, they needed that and I'm going to stay. You want me to preach or slow down? Okay. And I told him, I said, you better watch out about them car dealerships. He said, Dad, he said, I know I'm just 17. He said, it sounds to me like it's everywhere. I said, it is. I said, and I reckon you're all right. Everything you've told me you wanted to do, I've tried to warn you. I said, you better walk with Jesus and keep yourself pure.
Amen.
Come on now. Come on. Where are you clicking? I've never understood this. How long have we had texting? 15 years? 18? We had cell phones a good while before we got the ability to text. I've never understood this. People will text things they would never say. Help me, criminal minds. Do a CSI for me. Why would they text something they'd never utter? I preached that. One of the first public messages I ever preached. It felt like a child's thought. It was all I had. It was all the Lord told me to preach. I said, I can't mean Alfred Willis. And who was the other one? Two seasoned veteran men of God cornered me after the service and said, their stories were so similar, it was eerie.
Yeah.
They said, we're dealing with mess, deep mess in our church right now. And it all started with a text. One text.
Right.
And one of them left, the other one came up, grabbed my hand. He said, preach that everywhere you go. And he said, I'm dealing with the biggest mess in my church I've ever dealt with at that point in 25 or 30 years. He said, and it started with one text, one person sent to another. Not a group, not a serial mess, rapist, killer person. One text. Said, it has opened the biggest mess you've ever seen in your life. Your preacher is here to ask you, on July 12th, 2020, don't try to be the 1,000th man in this area of sexual purity.
Right.
Now let me preach this. If you've messed up sexually, here's what Proverbs 28:13 says. Confess it, forsake it, get it under the blood, and make up your mind you're not going down that road again. Say amen. God is a God of love, forgiveness, healing, and restoration. You're not going to be second class. You're not going to be a stepchild. But I am also here to say it louder and longer and harder. If you've never gone down that road, please don't go down it. And let me tell you where the most passionate testimonies would come from to beg you not to go that way. It'd be the one who's fallen and been restored. The one who's fallen and been restored would grab your ankles and say, please don't play the game loose. I've asked her permission to say this. I don't say it often because I'm not trying to use the pulpit as an opportunity to be inappropriate. You have no idea the joy and peace and satisfaction and security. Isn't that what all of us are looking for at the end of the day? You have no idea the joy, peace, satisfaction, and security that comes from keeping yourself to your wedding day and keeping yourself to that one only. I could do a cross-country trip in a rig. She'd never worry once about if I was betraying or breaking our vows. Here, guys, listen to me carefully. One reason is I treated her like nothing but a godly Christian young lady when we were courting. Help me. I know that's sensitive. I know it's sensitive. And I know there's people that I love and pastor and will always love and pastor who can't say that. I don't say that to hurt you. I say that for this generation. If you messed up last week, let me tell you what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to read Proverbs 28:13 to you. I'm going to tell you to confess it. I'm going to shake your hand, hug your neck, and say, live pure from this day on. I am. You say, Brother Raines, I don't really want to hear that on a Sunday morning. That's why our churches in Western North Carolina are full of mess. There's rarely an independent Baptist preacher that I hadn't talked to who said, pray for me. That's what they do. They go, pray for me. The other day, the choir was coming down, and I saw a woman and a man. They was doing more than just handshake fellowship. It looked, I got to deal with something. Preacher, pray for me. That's wicked. Don't be the thousandth man in the area of sexual purity. In Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the first word of 22? Well, saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then while I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'm going to slow way down. Please, don't be the thousandth one who says, I'm going to get in because I've done many wonderful works. And your heart is wicked and vile. And you're not born again, and you don't know Him. You know all about Him. And if somebody says, preaching, why should you be allowed into heaven? The first thing that comes to your mind is, I taught Sunday school. I gave. I helped my fellow man. If the first thing that comes to your mind is not Jesus died and took my place on the cross, your answer is wrong. It's Jesus. And I love holiness. I just preached on sin. I love holiness. I love purity. But you are not going to get into heaven by being a good person. You're not going to stand before God and say, let me tell you what I did for you. He never rebukes them and says, no, you didn't. In all likelihood, they did those things. Good things. Cast out devils. Many wonderful works. It didn't get them into heaven. And you know that. Say, Brother Raines, how does that fit with the thousandth man? How many times have you heard the truth preached? Your good works aren't going to get you into heaven. If you've been in a Bible-believing church very long, you've heard it 1,000 times. That's how it fits. It's not enough. Salvation's not hard, but it's serious. It's serious. Search your heart. Search the Scriptures. Ask God to reveal Himself to you. Is He real in your life? Is He working in your life? I'm not denying the fact that we have a sin nature that's alive and well. But I am telling you that there is a new man in there that should be alive and well also and yearns and longs for God. Do you have that? Is there a part of you that longs for and loves God? If not, something's missing. Something's missing. I'm not saying you won't have bad days. I'm not saying the devil can't attack our minds, like you said. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm telling you, if you're born again, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. Two things and I'll move. If the Holy Ghost lives inside of me, I ought to be able to say, God, through your word, let the Holy Ghost that's inside of me bear witness that I'm born again. I'm going to stop and go classroom on you. Does what I just said make sense? Yeah. Holy Spirit, you wrote this book and you live inside of me. Will you inside of me bear witness with what's written on these pages and give me the undeniable assurance that I'm born again? Preacher Raines, that's not asking too much. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Second thing I want to say is this. I've been through a terrible time of doubt. My late teen years, it was my fault. It wasn't God's. Don't ever go through it for 2.5, 3 years. She went through one, a terrible, terrible period of doubt. God had helped her. And before she could get back in all the way, joyful, victorious, the devil would torment her mind. And one day she had had all she could stand, Brother David. She went in her secret place and she fell on her knees. And she went, "Oh, Father." And about the time the word "Father" came out of her heart and her mind and her lips, the sweet Holy Ghost said, "No lost persons ever poured their heart out to me and said, 'Oh, Father.'" Said, "You called me that because that's who I am. Oh, Father." I got scripture. We have the witness of the Spirit whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." You know what Abba means? Papa. Whereby we cry, "Abba, Father, are you born again?" Proverbs chapter 1. Thank you for your attention. Proverbs 1. Don't be the 1,000th man in the area of sexual purity. The need for, you understand what I'm saying. Don't be the 1,000th man regarding salvation's plan. Don't try to be the 1,000th man regarding the seduction of prosperity. I am preaching this to the saved who will not sell out and live for God all the way. And you're torn. You're torn. There's other applications. That's where I want to go with that this morning, and I'll be done. 24. And I know these verses are stronger than that, and they apply differently. I want to lift them out and make an application. You've heard me do that before. I try to be careful when I do. "Because I've called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not, all my counsel have been none of my reproof. Because you've done all that, I'll laugh when you at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh." I've elaborated on those verses. "When your fear comes as a desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, they'll call upon me, but I will not answer. You'll seek me early, but you shall not find me. They shall not find me. Why? They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, be filled with their own devices." Okay, here's my text. "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them." You can read the last verse. I'm lifting it out to make an application. I want to be very clear. Okay? The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. If you grew up in an old-fashioned home, if you grew up in a home with manners and a work ethic, if you grew up in a church that had work days and taught young men how to work, you're better off because of that. Gen Z, the millennials were born before 2000. If you were born after 2000, you're Gen Z. Let me tell you something. Y'all's future is bright. Because you're up against people who don't do mornings. Right? Help me, Ben. Am I right? They do that little scratchy voice. "Eight? When? Eight? I don't do eight. Can I come in at 10? And then I need a break." You said, "Preacher, are you just running around?" No. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. If you've been raised right, if you've been around truth, you know how to work. You know how to clean up. You know how to show up. Anybody ever been anywhere where they came to day one and they didn't show up on day two? Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Story. Brother David, little bunny rabbits running everywhere. I could chase a bunch of rabbits right now like Elmer Fudd. So if you don't get stupid, you're going to do well in life. But if you don't know Jesus, if you're not sold out to Him, that'll be the prosperity of fools. I'm not a builder. I have the highest respect for it. Several of you know Brother Matthew Hill in Kentucky. He's taught young men how to build, Matthew. that are no longer walking with Jesus. It's not his fault. They can do everything you've done back here and more, but they're not doing it for him. Prosperity of fools. Prosperity of fools. So don't benefit from an old-fashioned church and morals and work ethic and manners and all that. Don't benefit from all that and not know the truth of walking with Jesus. All that's wonderful, but you need it coupled with first saved, second sold out to Jesus, head over heels in love with Jesus. The prosperity of fools, the thousandth man. I'm good. Brother McBride, I've got one more verse, Matthew 6. Brother McBride preached a strong salvation message Wednesday. This is 2020. My mind went back to Bible class. I was a business major, but I was at a Christian college. So each semester you took a Bible class. New Testament messages, first semester, sophomore year. Fall of 81. So that's 39 years ago, right? My Bible teacher taught as strongly as Brother McBride did Wednesday on Do You Know You're Saved? For out of the book of 1 John, evidence of real salvation. And at the end of that message, it truly was a message. He said, now here's what's going to happen for the next 2 weeks. He said, students will call me and set up appointments for counseling because you're not 100%. You want to make sure. And here's what he said, Katie. He said, I'm not worried about you. He said, here's who I'm worried about. He said, those of you that are going to close your Bible and close your notebook and walk out that door and go, I'm saved. I prayed the prayer. He said, you won't call me. You won't set up a meeting for counseling. He said, but I'll spend the next 2 weeks answering questions, going to the Scripture, guiding tender-hearted, sensitive young people. He said, the vast majority of which are born again. He said, and there's some of you, you're going to shrug your shoulders, click your teeth and mouth, and go, I'm saved? What was that all about? That's sad. And 39 years later, Preacher Raines, that's who weighs heavy on my heart, dealing with young people and now as a pastor for 10 years. It's not the people that are concerned about their salvation. Right. It's the one who goes, what's his deal? You with me? You've told this. You're raising was so... When you got saved a few years ago, we thought it was the first time you'd heard about Jesus. And you've told us since then, he was raised all around Jesus. But it was up here. I'm so glad he saved you. Matthew 6:23. I love you, church. Thank you for listening. If thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I've used this twice now. Here's time number three. I don't know of a better illustration. We got lights in here, right? That doesn't mean there's always light in here. There's lights. There's not always light. You've been exposed to light. But if the light that is in thee has not been regenerated, let me say it simply, turned on by the Holy Ghost, illuminated by the Holy Ghost, how great is that darkness? And your darkness is greater because of the light you've been exposed to. Don't try to be the thousandth man in any area of living for Jesus. Purity, salvation, surrender. A born-again Christian who will not fully surrender is not a happy Christian. They're miserable. Have you surrendered? Preachers, when I was younger, preached throwing in the white towel. It's a boxing allegory. Throwing in the white towel. I'm done. Some of you's fighting against God. You may be born again. He's wanting more. You won't surrender. Don't try to be the thousandth man. It killed 999 before you. Don't let it get you.
For more information about Progress Baptist Church and to hear this and other sermons, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. If you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is pressingonradio@gmail.com. That's pressingonradio@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining us for Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Be sure to tune in this time next week for another challenging message from God's Word.